It's Tuesdays with Aaron. Here's Jason Wilde with Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers on ESPN Wisconsin.
It is the Aaron Rodgers Show. Tuesdays with Aaron. With Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I'm in the Wilde family basement. Aaron Rodgers purportedly in Turkmenistan. Greetings from the United States, Aaron.
Greetings to you.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, considering.
Yeah, I thought that might be. Are you really in Turkmenistan? Do you have? Can you tell us if that's true?
I can't. My mission is declassified.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right, well, let's get to it because you've got important things to do in Turkmenistan. And I was going to ask you this question anyway, but I thought Christopher, in his Ask Aaron submission, had it better. He said, what is your process for dealing with a loss like this? I'm having a hard time as a fan, especially one who lives in Seattle, and I imagine that it must be so much harder for you. So how you doing?
Well, it's tough. It's tough when you come so close in a game like that. This one's going to sting for a little while, but you learn to move on. You know, it's part of it. Unfortunately, there's some incredibly great highs in our game, some incredible successes and joys, and then there's some ones that it really hurt you. And this is some of the ones that. I was going to stick with you because the way it ended, and every loss in the playoffs is difficult. This one being, just a few minutes from going to the Super Bowl, obviously is a little more difficult.
I was talking to a few players in the locker room yesterday, and Scott Tolzien was one of them, and he kept going back to how hard it is to get to the point that you guys were at and how many things have to go right for you to even be in that game. And then he said, and I'm not the one even playing, so imagine how he feels referring to you. Can you articulate how you're feeling with 5 minutes left in the game and you guys are up 19-7 and Morgan has just intercepted the pass? I mean, are you allowing your mind to think about how close you are and get those feelings, or what are you doing? Because you obviously still have work to do.
Yeah, I'm staying in the moment and realizing we get a couple first downs here, we can run the clock out. And that was kind of my mindset. Then, we had a couple three and outs, which hurt us, obviously, and they made a couple plays.
And when Scott talks about that, being so difficult to get to the point you're at, what is that journey like? Because I feel like Packers fans, by no fault of their own, just by the success that the franchise has had, and guys who cover the team like me, we assume you're going to be in the playoffs every year. We assume that you're going to have the chance to make a run at the title if it's meant to be. But what's the process like starting in? I mean, it doesn't even start in April. You start it in a couple of weeks when you get back into your off-season routine. How long is the journey to the moment that you were at on Sunday?
I think that's the thing that hits you immediately when you're on the bus. You realize just how much you went through to get to that point. Starting in April with the off-season workouts, and you go into IPWs and OTAs and mini camp, and then you get a little break, and the next thing you know, we're in training camp. And it's a long process, and it's an incredible journey. I mean, as you see a team really take shape and leaders step up and young guys step up and kind of, get a part of what we're doing and the veterans, kind of prove their worth as we go through this thing. And it's fun. We had a great team, great group of guys, talented as any we've had, but had that chemistry factor that you always need to be a championship team. And I was really proud of our guys and the leadership and the way they played. And that's what makes it so tough. You realize that's the last time that team's going to be together. There's always turnover. You look at this year, we had, some coaches, obviously, turnover, and then, a great number of players as well. Guys move on to other teams. Some you lose touch with, some you keep in touch with, but you can never kind of get that feeling that, with the same team back together, and that's the hard part. That's why you know, days like Monday are the toughest days of the year. You know, it's that is the toughest day, and the second is the last cut down because, you know, you see so many guys just working their tails off to make a team, and it's tough when you have some really hard times. But that's what makes our game, I think, so so marketable and inspiring, and people enjoy watching it because there's such great highs and lows in what we do, and it was a blast.
And you said that all playoff losses are tough. Is it the fact that so many things had to go wrong for this to be the outcome? I mean, you know, you take any of the plays that went against you and you just have one go the other way, and don't you feel like you're prepping for New England?
Well, you can't help it. You know, we all play the what-if game. It's a terrorizing game because it can really mess with you mentally. But, of course, you go through the different plays throughout the game. You know, a lot of times we're sitting here and thinking, you know, we've lost some playoff games where, yeah, we probably needed to make a few more plays, you know, more than one. And you look at the game on Sunday, and it really, you know, one play here or there could have made a difference. It could have been a play in the first quarter and or a play in the last quarter.
What's that like for you personally? I mean, you're playing on the bad wheel. I'm guessing, though, that you look at your own performance, passer rating of 55, couple of interceptions, with the Super Bowl in the balance, I'm guessing that you nitpick your own performance just as much, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's disappointing. You know, it's a great defense, but, you know, missed a couple throws and then, you know, had a couple miscommunications. But, yeah, it's frustrating knowing we were so close. And just a play here or there that would have sealed it.
Did you look at the film?
I have seen a good part of the film, yes.
Are you convinced that Bennett's offside on the first interception? Because you said that's why you made the throw.
I am, yeah. Okay. I think it's pretty evident on the film.
You said after the game that you let it go late with your calf. Did you do any further damage? Would it have been a problem if you would have won the game?
Well, I would have, you know, we would have had 2 weeks, so I don't think it would have been a problem. You know, it's kind of where it was after Detroit, yeah, with a week off there. So yeah, I would have been ready to go for sure.
And what's the timeline for that being back to 100%? How many weeks are you looking at and now that you don't have any more games to play?
Yeah, I think that, you know, without playing, having to play on it, you know, I think, you know, a month or 6 weeks, I should be ready to go, I think.
Okay. Kind of to spin ahead now instead of making you relive everything that went wrong, you are an NBA guy, and I've had a bunch of people compare this to what the Spurs had happen a couple years ago. I'm going to rely on you for your NBA memory here. But they lost a heartbreaker, I think, in Game 6. I think that's the one where Ray Allen hits the big shot, and they end up losing in the finals. Yeah? Does that sound familiar to you? And then they come back and win the title next year. Do you look at it like that? I mean, how do you take your disappointment and channel it into something productive?
That is the million-dollar question right there. I think, you know, you have to be able to refocus. And it's getting away, whether physically or mentally, and kind of refreshing your mind. And then getting ready. You know, every year you get older in the league, you know, the chances become fewer. And that's why, you know, it stings probably a little bit more. You know, I'd love to play, like I've said, you know, another 7 or 8, 9 more years. But you just never know how your body's going to hold up, how the team's going to hold up, and the opportunities you're going to have. And we had a, you know, great opportunity right in front of us to do something special. So that's why it makes it hard. I remember Ray Lewis talking about in losing the AFC Championship, I believe it was to New England. And then, you know, how that kind of spurned them on the next year to come back and win it. And, you know, that's obviously the goal, but so much has to happen between now, you know, sitting here in January and getting back to this point. You know, just realize it's a tall task, but we'll be up for it when we get back together.
What do you think you guys need to do next year? I mean, how important is it to have Randall back? How much of your offense you think hinges on, you know, keeping that group together. Brian's a free agent as well, and maybe the young guys that you saw promise in getting better, becoming a little more consistent. What do you think you need to do next year for that to happen?
I think if you look at our success in the second half of the season, it started up front. And we had the offensive line that we've never had here in my 10 years. The way that they protected and blocked, and the way we were able to run the football on some good defenses, and that was really impressive. And I'm really proud of those guys. They were able to stay healthy and really grow as a group. And you saw guys, you know, play some excellent football. And so it starts with up front. You know, if we can keep that line together, that's the core of what you need to be successful. And then we supplement that with, you know, hopefully bringing Randall back and Devontae, you know, becoming a second-year player. It's going to be important for those first- and second-year players to make the kind of jumps that guys have made around here, that Randall Cobb made, that Jordy Nelson made when he was a young player, that James Jones made, that Greg Jennings made, that Mike Daniels made, that Daytona made this year. You know, guys are going from years 1 and 2 and 2 and 3 and becoming, going from good, you know, good role players to guys are making a big impact every week. And we look forward to those guys doing that, continue to get more of themselves and become more of a vocal leader and leading by example. And I think you gotta start with that. And it's always great when you can bring in veterans as well. You know, we brought in a couple this year in Julius and Lucholi, who were excellent for us. Great locker room guys, impact players. They did a lot for us. They really raised the level of play on the defense and also were a lot of fun to be around. And you need that, the guys like that, to bring energy and hunger to win a championship. And I'm really proud of the contributions those guys made. So, you know, hopefully we can lock up our guys, bring Kuhn back, because he played excellent. And I was happy he got recognized the way he did. And also, you know, another congratulations to Randall and Sam on getting in the Pro Bowl. That's great for both those guys, very deserving. But, you know, we can bring those guys back and hopefully have a better result next year.
On the flip side, is there anything that you see as missing? I mean, again, you're a play away from being in the Super Bowl, so that's probably an unfair question. But is there anything that you see that you need to upgrade or fix or that worries you?
No, I like our team. You know, I think we just got to keep it together. You know, we got to find a way to add to it like we do every year and hold on to the guys that we got. And if we can do that and figure out our chemistry in the off season, you know, I think we can be a really dangerous team.
You talked after the game a little bit about your concern about not being aggressive enough. The two questions that I have based on what you said there was, do you have the flexibility that you have during the rest of the game to change the calls of the line of scrimmage in those situations, or is it different in the four-minute offense?
Well, it just depends on some of the personnel that we're in. You know, we have myself and the line has a good amount of freedom to make some changes on protections and runs and stuff. And, you know, we can make some passing changes as well from time to time. But we just didn't execute very well. After our long drive that got us a field goal there in the beginning of the fourth quarter, we stalled out until a two-minute drive.
And then you said you knew about Richard Sherman's injury. Both Jordy talking to the Journal Sentinel and then Randall talking to us yesterday said that they did not realize that he was hurt. Is that a regret? I mean, that you guys didn't go after him when he apparently was basically playing with one arm?
Well, he's a great player, and he's a great player on one arm. We hit a couple. We tried a couple in the 2 minute drive, but there's always going to be second guessing in this business. It's frustrating knowing how close we were, and just kind of needed a first down there in the fourth quarter to give our defense a little break and take another couple minutes off the clock.
Yeah. One last X's and O's question: what happened to you guys in the red zone and in goal line situations late in the year? You guys were, to borrow Will McAvoy's phrase, star-spangled awesome in the first half of the season. Did teams do something different against you guys? Was it your limited mobility that was an issue late? What do you think went on there that you guys weren't quite as good in those areas later in the year?
Well, I think you have to look at execution first. You know, we just didn't execute very well. We had some opportunities. You look at the drives we had against Seattle. We had some opportunities to get touchdowns there and didn't make the most of it. So, you know, down there, it's, you know, in the red zone, especially the tight red zone, it's all about, you know, tight windows and passing game, and you got to have accurate throws, and you got to be able to move some guys off the ball in the run game.
Reports about Alex Van Pelt and Tom Clements. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporting that the Rams want to talk to Alex about their offensive coordinator position. The Cleveland Plain Dealer reporting that Tom Clements is someone that the Browns are interested in for their offensive coordinator position. Mike McCarthy's history has been to block any requests that are made for his guys, but nevertheless, how important are Alex and Tom to you, and how important is it to you that they're both still on the staff after this is over?
Well, I'm not surprised by either of the reports. They're excellent coaches. They're great teachers of the game, and they obviously know this offense inside and out. So, they've been a big part of my success. Tom, in the older days, I'm not gonna say the old days. It's not, it hasn't been that long, but in the older days, Tom and I spent a ton of time together in the quarterback schools, and going through our offense and defenses, and quizzing me all the time, and trying to help me become an expert of our offense and start to understand defenses. It was years, starting in the middle of March, especially as a backup. I'd have a good couple months before Brett would come back for OTAs to really kind of hone my skills and study the offense. And Tom was instrumental in helping me in those times. And then he moved on to be the coordinator as Joe left, and I got to work with Ben, and we had a great time. And Ben got an opportunity last year, and then Alex came in this year, and we had a blast. He was an excellent teacher of the game. He understands the quarterback position. Having been a guy for a long time playing the league and been around it, and he's a student of the game and a great teacher of the game. A gym rat. You know, he's in there some long hours. He's always coming up with great ideas. And we're always communicating about things on the text message, late at night. Like, hey, send me a scribble drawing of something, and I'll say if I like it or not. And if it's past 10, I usually say yes, just so he knows that his hard work is not in vain. But I'm not surprised. But I'm also, would love to keep those guys around. But, we've added some great guys to the staff over the last calendar year. It's been great having David Ryan, Luke Getsy. Our offensive quality control guys have been excellent additions to our offense. And Sam Gash with the running backs brings great energy. Steve Marshall is the assistant offensive line coach, has done a great job for us. So I think anytime you bring in, you change it up a little bit, when other guys get opportunities, it's always fun to see the new personality show up. And love to keep our guys, obviously, because, it's been great working with Alex. And the fusion is always fun.
So is Alex drawing these up on the iPad and then sending it to you as a drawing that he does on there, or is he like drawing it on paper, taking a picture of it, and sending it to you?
Yeah, more the latter there.
Okay. There's another story in the NFL right now. What do you think of this Patriots deflated balls story? Apparently, during your Patriots game, Jim Nantz and Phil Sims were talking about your preference to have your balls overinflated. And I feel like we've talked a little bit about that in the past. What do you make of this story?
Now, I have a major problem with the way it goes down, to be honest with you. The majority of the time, they take air out of the football. And I think that's, for me, that's a disadvantage.
Who does?
I can't. The referees. The referee who inspects them before the game, they have a set range they like them at. I'm always like to be on the high range because of my grip pressure. I just have a hard time throwing a flat football. The majority of quarterbacks, I would say more than half, are maybe on the other end of the spectrum and like it on the flatter side. My belief is that there should be a minimum air pressure requirement, but not a maximum. There's no advantage, in my opinion. We're not kicking the football. There's no advantage in having a pumped up football. There is if you don't have a strong grip pressure or smaller hands, an advantage in having a flat football, though, because that is easier to throw. So I think that is something that I need to look at. There should be a minimum on the air pressure, but not a maximum, because, you know, it's every game they're taking air out of the footballs I'm throwing, and I think that's a disadvantage for the way that that I like them prepped.
The other news,
you know, a lot's happened to get to this point. You know, Peyton was pretty instrumental in in making some changes to the fact that we get to rub them down, we get to practice with them. It's not brand new footballs, but I think that this needs to be looked at for a minimum, and then not having a maximum, because a flat football is an advantage to throw it if you have smaller hands or you don't have the same grip pressure. But taking air out of the football that's inflated, I think it shouldn't happen. And that's what I told Jim Nance and Phil Simms.
You mentioned Peyton Manning there. Do you think it's important, though, that you guys get to have, as quarterbacks, the balls be the way you want them? I don't think people realize that aspect of this. I mean, we all kind of just assume that you're playing with a standard ball, but that's just not the case.
No, it's not the case. And I don't think they should penalize, smaller hands or weaker pressure, per se. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there should be a minimum and not a maximum as far as the air pressure goes. The majority of people don't like throwing brand new footballs. And that's why, the change was made, and Peyton was big on helping all the quarterbacks out with that. But, if they're going to let us prep them the way we want them, I don't believe you should be able to take air out of the footballs.
And when it comes to yours, is that something you're doing in between your prep for the game and your Saturday presentations and everything else, or do you have someone who preps your footballs to your specifications?
Yeah, we have. We always get a chance to look at them, our staff does a good job, the equipment staff, of putting together a number of the footballs that we've used in games or practice that week, and always working new ones in to try and get them worked in the way I like them. Again, my biggest problem is I don't think you should be able to take air out of the footballs, because it's not an advantage when you have a football that's inflated more than the average, whatever air pressure they want.
PSI,
you're not
right.
Kicking these footballs. It's a preference. They're going to let us, rub them down and get them to the specifications that we like. It shouldn't take air out. They should maybe add air if it's they want to get to an average, but they shouldn't be able to take it out.
Okay. The other news of the day is that you won't be playing in the Pro Bowl. Personally, I can't believe that you're not going to gut it out for a meaningless exhibition game. I'm really disappointed in you. But Randall does get to go. Sam gets to go. Jordy's going. I was
going
to say John. I figured he was going. I was going to say I assume that Clay and Josh are going, even though they've been to it before, and Josh has that toe injury. But what made you? You just can't go with the calf, obviously. But how happy are you, especially for Randall, who gets in kind of late here? And what do those guys have to look forward to?
Well, I'm really happy for those guys. I've said it multiple times. I'm really happy for John because I think he's had a great season. But Randall as well. Over 90 catches, he stayed healthy, he had 1,200 yards. I mean, he had a phenomenal season, and I'm really, really happy for him. Obviously, Josh is very well-deserving. I feel like TJ is as well, and Brian and David and Corey. I mean, those guys had great years. So I'm proud of all those guys. And I was actually at the only other non-Hawaiian one in kind of our career span here in Fort Lauderdale and Miami. That was actually a lot of fun. I would say more fun than the Hawaii one.
Why?
On the fact that, it was the hotel structure, I would say. In Fort Lauderdale, for whatever reason, it was just the players and their families. In Hawaii, it was everybody. It was players, families, autograph hounds, agents, managers. There wasn't a lot of places to sit down or a place to relax out there. The other thing that I missed was Peyton wasn't there in Hawaii. And Peyton supposedly always gives this speech about, you know, kind of letting the players be and not asking for, you know, don't have, you know, he makes it kind of funny. He makes, you know, don't have your uncle come over and be asking for a bunch of selfies and stuff. And so that didn't happen that year, and it was kind of a free-for-all when you're down kind of by the pool. So I would, yeah, Arizona, I bet it's going to be a lot of fun. Just the appeal to, for me, if I was going to go to get out there and play some golf, I think it would be great in the afternoons. And I'm not sure what staff is doing it, but it's always fun being around a new staff and kind of learning a little bit about the system and talking ball with the guys who are at the top of their game. So it's enjoyable. The game has been a little better the last couple of years. But I can't go because of my calf. I'm going to need a good month to rest this thing.
All right, one last thing, and then we'll get to the Ask Aaron questions and let you go to your mission. You will be in Arizona next week, though, right? You're up for the MVP. You're up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Congratulations on being a finalist for that. So you will be at the Super Bowl, at least during the Super Bowl festivities leading up to the game, correct?
That's the rumor. if I can get out of Turk here.
Are you doing anything with NBC? Because the last time the Super Bowl was on NBC, you were on the pregame and stuff, and if I may say so, I thought you did a really good job.
Well, thank you. NBC is great. You know, that was a great experience for me. I really loved working with those guys. I mean, Fred and Dick and Bob and, you know, Coach Dungy and Dan, Rodney. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's a really first-class group, and had a blast doing it. You know, to be honest, haven't really even talked about any opportunities out there yet. The NFL Honors is going to be great. I've been every single year they've had it, and you know, enjoy that. It's always fun to meet you know, some of the guys you grew up watching and see your contemporaries as well. You know, it's just a great event. It's just about football. You go to the ESPYs, it's fun. It's very sports. But there's usually not many football guys there. NFL Honors is all about football, so it's always a good event, and I'm up for a couple of awards, which is pretty awesome.
Let's get to the Ask Aaron questions. Your questions for the Packers quarterback, use the hashtag Ask Aaron, or you can email them to me. We start with Todd, who says, how badly do you wish you had called heads? Are you in charge of calling the coin toss?
Yeah, I called the last one, man.
Yeah. You needed Charles. That's his specialty, right?
Yeah, Pep called it on the opening toss. He called heads, and it was tails. So then I called tails, and it was heads. I felt pretty good, though. We had the wind. You know, we had a good kickoff. We tackled inside the 15. It's tough. You know, I've played in a few of those overtime games even before they changed the rules and not had a possession. I think that's maybe three now, at least two, where we just haven't been able to get on the field in overtime, and that's a tough feeling.
Are you okay with the rule that if they score a touchdown, you don't get to play?
Yeah, I was okay with the rule that you don't get two possessions.
Yeah. Monica says, is Chance just Olivia's dog, or does he belong to both of you?
Well, I have my claim in him for sure. Somebody's got to discipline him.
Now, is this now again? I don't read a lot of the other types of publications. I'm usually focused on football-related ones. But is it true that you have masterfully house-trained this young fellow, and did so quite quickly?
What is the question?
Well, the reports are that you house-trained your dog in like a day and a half.
Yeah, I mean,
apparently that's what Olivia
said. Exaggerated, but yeah, we were on him about his potty training and great training. So he's a good dog, though. He's really good, mellow, and he enjoys people, but he's also a good watchdog. So even at his stature of just under 13 pounds, he's got a little bite to him.
Yeah, he's an intimidating little guy from what I've seen in the Instagram photos. Michael says, I know you're a supporter of the troops and a big movie guy as well. What are your thoughts on American Sniper? Have you seen it? And do you have any thoughts on the Oscar nominees being a movie guy?
I haven't seen it. I saw the Globes, and I was impressed with some of the nominees. I'd seen a few of the movies that were up for it. I saw Foxcatcher, and I saw Birdman recently. and very interesting movies. Birdman, especially the cinematography, there was a very small number of cuts in the entire movie, which I thought was fascinating. They really transitioned from scene to scene with the camera rolling the entire time. And just, I have an appreciation just thinking about how much they had to rehearse to make sure that everybody knew exactly what time they had to be on their marks, because if one person screwed it up or screwed a line up, that's, you know, it could be 12 minutes into a scene, and then they have to cut and start over from the original position. So that was really impressive. The acting, I thought, was great as well. Michael Keaton was great, and he actually won the Golden Globe. So, but I thought Steve Carell's performance in Foxcatcher was really, really good.
Melissa says, I always find it a little off-putting when athletes, actors, and anybody says, this is what God wanted, or I want to thank God for helping us win today, anything along those lines, when a game or award is won. I'm paraphrasing here, but you get the gist. Personally, with all the chaos in the world, I'm not sure God really cares about the outcome of a game or an award show. What do you think of statements such as these? You've obviously got your faith, she says, and does what happened on Sunday impact your relationship with God or your faith at all?
I agree with her. I don't think God cares a whole lot about the outcome. He cares about the people involved, but I don't think he's a big football fan.
Alex says, my family is looking at taking a vacation to California this summer. Any cool spots or locations you can recommend on visiting? I know you've done your restaurant recommendations. Do you have any other mm-hmm. recommendations that need to be put out there?
I would say if you're going to California, if it's Northern California, I would strongly recommend wine tasting in the Napa Valley, Napa, Sonoma. That area there is beautiful. If you're going to go to the east of the state, I would say hit up Lake Tahoe area. It's a four seasons of fun, actually. You get the summertime on the lake, and you get the wintertime with the snow, the snowboarding and skiing. And if you're down south, you got to hit up the beach. You know, anything from L.A. on down, it's beautiful. You know, you got Huntington, Newport, Dana Point, whatever, San Diego, Del Mar, Laguna. There's some beautiful spots along the way. Just drive down the one, Highway 1. It runs right along the ocean there. It's pretty beautiful.
And they all have good scotch.
Good what?
Scotch.
Scotch. Yes. Yeah, probably.
I'm learning about the two-finger thing. All right, last three. Lee says, I'm 28 years old with no organized football experience. I'm a former hockey player, but I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I love Grape Crush. How would you rate my chances of success in the NFL? A, excellent, B, superb, or C, pretty good?
I'd say strong to quite strong.
Nice, good. We wish Reese good luck. Two more. Carson says, what was the most satisfying moment from your season?
Satisfying moment?
Yeah.
Oh, man. There were so many fun ones. I mean, you know, six touchdowns and a half is probably something that I won't be able to do again. So many things have to happen. And you have to, you know, kind of start with the ball and start early and have some turnovers and, you know, not have any big runs at the end of the end zone. So a lot of things had to come together for that, and that was pretty special, especially with Randall making a big play there on the sixth one. You know, being able to come back from the injury against Detroit was great. You know, it's always, I think, an opportunity to just show your teammates what you're willing to do for them, kind of putting your body on the line. Everybody's doing it late in the year. You know, Josh battled through a rough injury. AJ dealt with a number of injuries this year. You know, TJ had an injury, a significant injury that he dealt with and played with, and came back in the game against New Orleans. You know, it's kind of what we do. It's in our DNA, but it's always fun to be able to go back out there and for lack of a better word, kind of battle with your teammates and compete.
Last question goes to Mark. He says, You told us to relax, and we did. What do we do now? Thank you for an amazing year. That's from Mark.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark. I don't really have any catchy spelled out phrase at this point. You know, everybody's hurt and disappointed and frustrated and shocked. You know, Packer fans and players and coaches alike. You know, this is it's tough. It's a long year, and I know the fans out there. You guys put a lot into it as well. You guys, you know, live and die emotionally with our every play, and we appreciate you guys so much. You know, there's no coincidence we go 9-0 this year. That you guys really brought it every single week. You know, with your energy and your passion and your support. That's what we thrive on. We're kind of the modern day gladiators. When we're in the arena, you know, we thrive off the energy of the crowd, and we can't thank our fans enough for what they do for us, for the kind words when we're out and about in the city, for listening to the show and sending in the questions. It's a special relationship we have, and we just really appreciate everything, and we're right there with you. We're hurting just like you guys are, and resolute in our determination to get back out there and have a better result next year.
We will try and figure out what your plans are going forward for the next couple of weeks. We hope to do at least one more show, but we'll see if that coincides with your schedule, and we'll see how things turn out.
I'm sure we can make it happen.
All right, it's up to you, buddy. We'll see how things go at the NFL Honors. We wish you a safe journey from Turkmenistan or wherever the heck you are to where you're headed next, and we'll talk to you again down the road, all right?
All right.
That was Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and this has been the Aaron Rodgers Show.